Wading through the piles of salt, peasants with pitchforks and flaming fiery firebrands. It's us, a bit louder than last time.
And we're here with the news again.
Take it away!
Quick!
Who brought that in here?
Commander carries on after canopy catastrophe.
Who ate all the plant-based pies? Are vegans in danger of extinction?
We are all buck naked.
Galaxy's not the same place it was yesterday.
HS 5060 pokes into Tharg's arcs.
Lou's going on and on about something or another.
And Norma's got very little on her hands.
Commander Deadmeat GF, long-standing naughty step trucker, he's not allowed to sit on it as he's still in the doghouse, experienced a bizarre accident in his Diamondback late last week. Whilst sleeping between missions, alarms and klaxons woke him, and on hauling himself to the cockpit, he discovered that his canopy had gone from crystal clear with barely a smear to the kind of spider-woven web pattern most favoured by the pyjama silk space spiders of Arachi Zoo. The only evidence, other than a clear impact point on the inside of his screen, was the shattered remains of his treasured shit-tier mug, a parody item designed to poke fun at the fake mug rackets that appeared in late 3302. With shipboard sensors showing no internal movement overnight, his logs did show a passing security vessel attempted a scram. Yes, a scan and ram manoeuvre in the wee small hours of the morning. Using a series of complicated computer simulations, hazy memories of where his mug was, and of course a significant amount of guesswork, he was able to determine that the rear ramming action of the authorities caused his mug to accelerate backwards, whereupon it caught in the cargo webbing and was catapulted forward with extreme force into his canopy. We would like to remind Hutton truckers that fake mugs can be detrimental to your health and your bank balance. A genuine Hutton mug would not have shattered at this point, as it's made from ship-grade frameshift shit, though loss of the handle has been known to occur. With carefully crafted edges on the mug, the Hutton variety is suitable for unsecured use, even in combat situations, and guaranteed not to crazy pave your glaze.
With recent Galnet news articles, Commander Rotherspoon reads them so we won't hear, regarding the potential food crisis in the old worlds, our very own Snuggles McKeag, agronomist and suggestively shaped vegetable winner 3303 and 3304 has been carrying out an in-depth investigation into exactly how the galaxy feeds itself. With humanity having expanded to thousands of worlds in the bubble, his investigation centred around exactly what everyone eats, where it comes from, and does everyone eat those nasty food pellets and space goop that seem to be the staple aboard every ship? Is a meat-free vegan diet the only way that humanity has survived in the 34th century? The answer is no. With over 1,400 Earth-like worlds and water worlds within 150 light-years of Sol, we've done the calculations and only 75 of them are needed to feed the entire galaxy on a diet of bacon, sausages, steak, chicken drumsticks, prawn vindaloo, goat curry, and in fact just about anything that walks on the land, swims in the seas, and doesn't have opposable thumbs. Oh, and the odd bit of bread to mop up the gravy. So where is the emergency? It appears that despite an appeal in 3304 by Commander Blaine Crichton of Angerly Imperial Enterprises, no one bothered using more than one grain variety of grain anywhere in the galaxy, despite variations in gravity, soil chemistry, and sunlight. which means it is entirely likely that your next burger may have to be eaten without a bun. We're anticipating that the latest crop failure is likely to leave diesel or EV and nearby systems short. Prices for foodstuffs, because of course the spare growing things go to feed all the cows, will rise. Gin supplies will dwindle and there will be much wailing and gnashing of teeth, mainly because they haven't got a nice firm bun to munch on. Of course, conspiracy nuts are already suggesting that it's a revenge attack by Thalg the Mighty, who, after scoffing many human popsicles, has worked out what we eat. It gives him terrible gas. And targeted directly in revenge for the mushroom incident of 3151, which led to them all going off in a soak with bellyache, a bit like the forums. Hutton believes that the problem is one of distribution. There are enough farms out there to keep everyone in onion barges and beef Wellington for the next 1,000 years. It's all just a matter of trucking, which is handy, as that's what we do best. The food pellet thing appears to have been a mix-up. They're actually Alvin's dog biscuits.
Hutton Orbital Radio investigative journalists have been out and about this week trying to discover just how it's possible for ships to change paint jobs whilst out in the black, whilst at the same time not being able to repair your current paint job if it gets damaged. We went to the Pilots Federation as our first port of call, given that it's their currency. ARC's paint coins have been mined in direct competition to the credits issued by the Bank of Zayont that is used to purchase paint jobs. The Pilots Federation were not exactly forthcoming, muttering things such as, "It's a secret," "Magic," and "Go ask Ed." Undaunted, we sought out some of the galaxy's finest engineers, since they were used to rummaging around beneath the hood, as it were, and they were the best people to help us find our goal. This is the report from one such engineer, who was asked to remain anonymous, lest the Pilots Federation send in some Momus Bog Spaniels to revoke their privileges with extreme prejudice. It appears that with the latest remote update to everyone's ship systems, the Pilots Federation has been able to grant pilots local access to a livery programming unit, which controls a layer of paramagnetic paint on the ship's hull. Paramagnetic paint is a byproduct from void opal refineries and has the unusual property that its colour can be changed by varying the frequency of an electrical signal sent to the hull. Now, although electronics can be used to change the colours, once the paramagnetic paint has been damaged by cosmic rays, beam lasers, or just careless piloting, it requires a trip to outfitting. The polychromatics don't stop there, with engine colours, laser colour tuning, and commander outfits all being able to be changed at the drop of a hat. It has long been known that outfits and costumes for pilots are holo projected, as are the ship kits applied to your vessel, and the management software now lets you choose this season's fashion or a new spoiler to suit your mood. What we did find was that the HoloMe flight suit is actually a hard light hologram. Previous attempts to create a 3D printed suit were abandoned when it was found that each suit would take about 2 weeks to print. In order for the hard light hologram to function correctly, each pilot is required to start naked, and the light bee is then placed somewhere upon your person, in a very secure location. A larger format device is used for ship kits applied to your vessel. Have you won a Hutton decal by being a top trucker, but aren't going to be back in the bubble for a year? Worry not, you can now apply it forthwith.
There have been many changes in the galaxy this week. Much has been said recently about the cooperative effort between ship manufacturers Falcon de Lacy, Lacon Spaceways, Gudameya, Sal Kruger, and Core Dynamics. But when they decided that what all new pilots needed was what has been described as a creepy invisible person in the cockpit to hold pilots' hands, when they first take out their shiny new ships, Hutton Orbital Radio does not condone in-ship stalking. But we wondered if this sudden creation of many new jobs was a way of making the galactic employment figures look better. But what about experienced pilots? Have there been no improvements for them? Nothing could be further from the truth. Whilst fitting the secret compartments for invisible truck buddies, the ship manufacturers have worked alongside the Pilot Federation to vastly improve the experience for jaded, scarred, and usually drunk pilots. The advances are, of course, too numerous for us to cover them all, but here are the highlights. There is no longer a risk of your Hutton orbital decal appearing the wrong way round, thus making it appear that you'd earned it with a loop of shame. From here on in, if you are mapping a planet and the wrong one appears blue, it's your METS, not the scanner. You can no longer improve your chances in battle by continuously shouting orders at your fighter's pilot. They now get all snappy and say, "Heard you the first time." Mamba pilots no longer have to get out of their ship and hit the landing gear with a big mallet to make it retract. Mines will now arm in 2 seconds, thus making it less likely that your enemy has flown right past them before they activate. Previously, mines took 5 seconds to activate, which was due to health and safety gone mad. So what if mines used to activate in your hold before you could push them out and half the time you blew yourself to smithereens? Well, that was half the fun. The targeting computer has been improved, so that you will find your targets to attack when undertaking massacre and assassination missions. This fix has been applied to all ships galaxy-wide, so you can no longer expect to be interdicted and find that the pirate does not turn up to the party. We understand that it is now more likely that scans will reveal high-grade emissions and non-human signal sources. Could this be the harbinger of a return of Tharg the Mighty? Finally, and most importantly of all, the issue that has incensed our listener more often than any other, the date of Atticus Abellan Duval's ascension to the throne has been corrected on the Taurus beacon.
Hello, is this thing on? Hang on a second, I'm going to pour a drink. Okay, it's me and Cecil. Yeah, I got a very, very important message from Mr. Atrus 5060. He says, "Good evening, truckers." Atrus 5060 reporting in. Well, it's not him, it's me. It's me reporting in for him once again with Canon Research. They're lovely over there. They got tin foil and biscuits and everything. Their latest intel on the Thargoids. With the introduction of a new currency, it's exciting, called Arx from the Bank of Zeonce. I spent a penny once. The Thargoids were keen to earn their fair share of Arx to finally repaint some of their ships to better disguise them as human vessels. Drinking vessels for the mug in a mug. According to the Bank of Zeon's officials, I was talking about them a minute ago, a new account was opened under the name Tharg, where massive amounts of Arx were deposited and then spent, which has led to massive amounts of tinfoil in the Gnosis stores to be used up with boffins at the cannon, hypothesizing, that's the right one, that Thargoids were successful in their plan to disguise themselves. So be on the lookout, truckers, for ships with interesting paint jobs and ship IDs written in a strange language. It could be English, it could be French, it's quite strange. This could be the enemy in disguise, luring us into a trap with their 7-week hernia. Hiatus. Anyway, that's enough from me. Good luck out there, and Atrus 5060 says, for the mug. I think the next bit I'm supposed to push a button. Somebody find it for me. Oh, hang on a second. I need a drink. Give me a minute. I think I found it. Hang on. Oh, it's broken. It's this one.
Accessing Hackscomb briefing channel. Authenticating. Access granted.
Incoming message from Hackscomb.
Hello, you have reached Andy Zeno Wing Unified Central Command. Thargoid activity continues to be limited to the Pleiades and Witchhead Nebula systems. No new attacks have occurred. The Eagle Eye Network continues to show Thargoid activity in uninhabited systems. So stay alert, Hackswing, but for now stick to your regular activities.
Okay, Riley, that should do it.
Sir, are you sure about who's setting up an automated briefing like this?
Listen, it's been 7 weeks and Thark's done nothing. He's given up, gone into hiding. Other than trying to hang on to the Pleiades and Witchhead. Hey, did we hear if Vince figured out the issue with Olympic crashes yet?
No, far as we know, there's still a chance for the ship computer to crash when Olympic comes in.
Dang. Well, guess mining's out for now. Hey, you made sure the voice transmitter was off, right?
End Hackscomb transmission. Defend the mug.
No!
There's not much to say about the BGS this week. Most of our systems are fairly stable, and there's only one order of business: summoning Commander Rincewind Cymru to Cubicle 3 for the heinous crime of allowing PSPF-LF to roar from a lovely 54% all the way to 66% and dangerously close to expansion. Alvin, as you know, has had his fill of expansions, so if you see Commander Rincewind Cymru in the area, please escort him to Cubicle 3 for punishment detail immediately. So, the order of the day is to drop PSPF-LF2, LP245-10 and WISE0855-0714 to as close to 50% as possible. No other instructions, Alvin was very clear on that matter. Over in Colonolia, Hanker's instructions are to work in EOL Procol Centauri and Derizo only, as the other player faction in tier gets sniffy if we rise above 24%, and we're about to. For the Mug Commanders, and I look forward to a nice clean Cubicle 3 when the errant commander is apprehended. Over to Norma for some very exciting news.
And that, unfortunately, is all we have for this week, as my initiative has upped and left the building.